Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.
Thank you for choosing to listen to this message by Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. We believe that you'll be blessed by the Word of God shared during this time. Now here's Pastor Edwards.
Hello, this is Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ, and I ask that you please support this ministry by making a donation of any amount today. You can give by way of the Cash App, and our cash tag is $THCOGIC, and that's $THCOGIC. You can also go online to our website, that's trueholinesscogic.org, that's trueholinesscogic.org. Click on the Give icon in the upper right-hand corner, and you can use our online form, or you can choose PayPal to make your donation. And remember, a gift of any amount will help us to continue to spread the gospel. And may God richly bless you for your generous gift today. And we at True Holiness thank you for your support of the ongoing work of this ministry. And now for today's message.
Get yourselves prepared for the Word of God tonight from my own Elder Will Lincoln.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. How many know that nothing dead still has power? I heard the psalmist say that it reaches. And she talked about all these different things that the blood does. But how many of you know, amen, that and I heard it said that it still works today. And you know, and we marvel at that as if Jesus or the blood was dead. We know that he died on the cross, amen, but we also know that Jesus still lives. And guess what? I want to tell you that the life of Jesus is still carried on in his blood. The blood of Jesus is not dead. So that shouldn't be a shock to us that the blood of Jesus still works today, just like it did millions of years ago, because his life was in the blood and still in the blood and still working for us today. That ought to excite somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. We give honor, amen, unto God and all of his awesome wonder. Amen. I just want to say again that I am excited, amen, to be a part of this revival. Amen. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Amen. And I am excited, amen, that I'm also, amen, the first to come up, amen, to bring you this word fresh off the praise. So I can just sit back and say hallelujah, amen, each additional night as everybody else goes on. Praise God. And I want to tell you, amen, that there is power in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And you know, we're kicking off something here early that churches all over the world are going to be doing, amen, on this Sunday, right? All over, they're getting ready to commemorate the death, the resurrection, amen, the burial and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a form of thanksgiving that's done in remembrance of and thanksgiving towards Christ for all that he's done for us. You know, some would call it the Lord's Supper. Some would call it the Last Supper. Some will call it the communion. Some will even emphasize it and say the Holy Communion, amen. Some will even call it the Eucharist, right? All, you know, at the heart of all these ordinances will be the drinking of juice and wine and or wine, which symbolizes the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross for the sins of all mankind. You know, Luke 22 and 19 and 20 reads, "And he took bread and he gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. These commemorations are done with the understanding that without Christ's sacrifice and the shedding of his blood, we couldn't be made righteous before God." Amen. You see, For without the blood, all of our sins would still be charged to our account. Jesus shed blood, paid the price of sin, which is death. And it paid the price for all of us. We were all dead to sin until we came into the knowledge, the confession, and the belief in God's salvation plan, of which key was Jesus' sacrifice and his shed blood. Romans 10 and 10 reads like this. For with the heart a person believes in Christ Jesus as Savior, resulting in his justification, that is being made righteous, being freed of the guilt of sin and made acceptable unto God. And with the mouth, he acknowledges and confesses his faith openly, resulting in and confirming his salvation. Amen. The scripture led us, amen, to believe and know, amen, that salvation first happens in the heart of what we believe, of what happened and what all Jesus went through. And the outward confession of our mouth confirms what has just taken place in our heart. And I want you to get something here about that second part where it says that our mouth, our confession confirms something that we just believed in our heart. It says that, and with the mouth, he acknowledges and confesses his faith openly, resulting in and confirming his salvation, right? It says that his confession acknowledges and confirms something that has happened in our hearts once we believed. Well, I want to raise the question here. What was it that you believed in your heart as part of this salvation process? Was it just that Jesus died for our sins? I mean, if we go back a verse, in verse 9, it does state that, believing in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and that he died on the cross for our sins, and that God raised him from the dead 3 days later. It does say that. But what is it that our confession that we make of Jesus as Lord and Savior, the confession we make with our mouth, what is it confirming that we believed in our heart? Again, I'll say, was it just that he died for our sins? Well, you would be right. However, if we were to dig a little deeper in scripture, we would understand the true nature of his death. You see, he didn't just get on the cross and die. Jesus was beaten bloody, amen, on the way to the cross. He lost blood. In fact, he carried his cross while he was being beaten and losing blood. Nails were hammered into his hands and his feet. Somebody say, more blood. Finally, the Bible says that he was pierced in the side and blood and water flowed from him. Come on, somebody, say more blood.
Hallelujah.
Jesus didn't just die, he bled to death.
More blood.
Yes, yes, Lord. Help us,
Lord. A study published in the LA Times in 1986, I read and I took an excerpt, amen, and I wrote it here in the way I understood it. It reported the following about the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, and it talks about the suffering that he went through. And it says that Jesus' death on the cross was a study of a man in agony, suffering with major nerve damage and pain, nerves that were possibly cut by spikes hammered into his body. It goes on to suggest that the nerve damage from the spikes would cause him to experience jolts of pain through a body that had already been ravaged by blood loss, already going into shock because of blood loss from a severe whipping, from being beaten all the way to the cross, and from being nailed to it once he got up Calvary's Hill. It goes on to state that having suffered for at least 3 hours while up on the cross, Jesus finally died of an unusually severe variety of blood loss induced shock and a type of suffocation that normally results from crucifixion. You might be wondering, preacher, why would you bring that up? You know, the suffering that Jesus went through. We saw the passion of the Christ. Amen. We've heard all this before. Why are you repeating what we already know? I mean, what's the big deal? What's so different about Jesus' blood? I mean, doesn't anyone who bleeds to death die, right? Isn't it the most important thing that he died and then he got up? Why are you emphasizing the blood?
Man.
Well, I want to talk to you tonight about why the blood is such a big deal. Come on, somebody, the blood is a big deal.
The blood.
And its relation to Jesus Christ dying on the cross. You see, he didn't just die. He bled for you. He bled for me. He bled for all the folks that came before me, and he's going to bleed. And his bleeding was for all the folks that shall come after us. He didn't just die. He bled to death for all of us. And what's so different about Jesus' blood is how it cannot be ignored or forgotten when Christians celebrate, amen, his death, burial, and resurrection. No, he didn't just die. Jesus bled.
Hallelujah.
And to understand the importance of Jesus' blood, we must first understand a little about the sacrificial system. You see, Jesus' sacrifice was a replacement of the atonement system, right? It was a better, he came to emphasize a better covenant. And so to fully understand the power of Jesus' blood and the sacrifice of which it was a part of for us, we must go back and take a little, study in the sacrificial system that went on in the Old Testament. You see, and I'm going to read these. I'm going to give you some scripture. You can go back and read on later. I'm not going to get too deep in it, but I want to give you some highlights. The Israelites had several different sacrificial offerings. Leviticus 1-7, you can read up on that. They had burnt offerings. They had sin offerings. They had grain offerings. They had guilt offerings. And they even had fellowship offerings, right? And when an animal was sacrificed as part of the offering, the blood and the fat was reserved for God. There's a reason for that. The fat was to be completely burned on the altar, and the smoke would rise as what's known to be a sweet aroma or savor, amen, unto God. Now, the blood was special because God said that the life of the animal was in the blood. See, Leviticus 17:10-11 reads, "And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from amongst his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh the atonement for the soul." I'll say that again. "For it is the blood that makes the atonement for the soul." It wasn't the animal dying, but it was the blood that was poured out that made the atonement for the soul. By saying that the life of the animal was in the blood, God meant that the blood was an essential element to maintaining what's called viability or signs of life, amen, on the physical side. So of course, when someone bleeds out, the body dies, that's because the life has left the body. Without blood, the animal ceases to maintain the ability to survive. In other words, there's no life. And since the blood was the fluid of life, God allowed his people, the Israelites, to use it to make atonement to him for their sins, right? And so we know that sin, we've come to know that it leadeth unto death. And anytime we're caught up in sin, the sin price for that sin is death. And the only thing that could take the place for a life was another life. And so the life of the animal being shed, the blood of that animal, is what paid the atonement for the life that was rightfully headed toward death. And so that blood is what covered those people, the Israelites, who were caught up in sin. God in his holiness and righteousness is too pure to look upon and tolerate sin. However, to appease his anger and an act of mercy, God chose to accept the life of the animal in place of the life of the human. So as the animal's life was poured out and sprinkled or smeared on the horns of the altar, God accepted it as payment for their sin. It was the atoning effect. Because of the blood's power and what it was able to accomplish, the Israelites were prohibited from eating it. Can somebody say no eating any blood sausages? From now on, you got to cook those steaks well done, no medium, medium rare, rare or blue. I know how some folks like to eat them. But if it was back during this time, you couldn't do it because God's word was that you could not consume the blood because life was in the blood and the animals weren't counted as or disregarded. There was still life in the blood because the blood had power to atone for the sins of man. And although the animal's blood could atone for the sin once, it could not completely take away the sin and the stain, amen, of death, because they had to repeat this every year. Well, the blood of bulls and sheep and goats was only effective for the temporary cleansing and the atonement of sin. The blood of Jesus not only paid the price or atoned for sin, it not only cleansed one of sins, but the blood of Jesus Christ destroys sin. I mean, to a point to where God doesn't even see your sin anymore. I mean, how many of you are so happy that all the things that you've done in your life up to this point, that it ain't even accounted to you anymore? Amen. Hallelujah. That God doesn't even remember it anymore. I mean, I believe the Bible says that it's tossed into the sea of forgetfulness not to even be remembered anymore. That's what the blood of Jesus does. It doesn't just wash away our sins. It destroys our sins to the point that God doesn't even see our sins anymore. We're presented spotless in the sight of God because of the blood of Jesus. It was Christ's shed blood that both made salvation available to us. And the same blood is at work in the salvation process. You see, it is the blood that washes away all of our sins and makes us righteous before God. In fact, in all of my righteousness, it doesn't matter if I'm living right. It doesn't matter if I do good to others. Amen. It doesn't matter if I'm loving my neighbor every day. I mean, if I am not washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, I do not have salvation. Listen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Bible said that whatsoever we sow, we shall reap, right? And I want to tell you that doesn't just apply to negative things. I want to tell you that it applies to good things too, right? If I live right, guess what? Good is going to come to me, right? If I do good to others, good is going to come to me from others. If I Amen. Love my neighbor will love me. But yeah. I want to tell you that in all of that righteousness, it amounts to nothing without the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away my sins and present Amen. Me right before God. You see, Amen. I can live all those ways and still God sees the stain on me. You know, so I can treat my neighbor right. I can give to charity. You know what I'm saying? I can love, amen, as well as what yeah. my understanding of love is. Amen. But God still sees the stain on me unless yes. I accept Christ's sacrifice and the blood that he spilled, that blood that washes me white. Yeah. Snow and washes away the stain to what yeah. God doesn't even
the
see.
Blood of Jesus.
Come on, somebody say, oh, the blood of Jesus.
Ooh. Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, his
Jesus.
Blood covers and atones for sin also once and for all. Hebrews 9 and 12 through 14. It read, it says that he went once for all into the holy place, the holy of holies, amen, in heaven. Into the presence of God, and not through the blood of goats and calves, and I'm reading from the Amplified, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, having obtained and secured eternal redemption, that is the salvation of all who personally believe in him as Savior, for if the sprinkling of ceremonially defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a burnt heifer is sufficient for the cleansing of the body, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Holy Spirit, amen, willingly offered himself unblemished, that is, without moral or spiritual imperfections, as a sacrifice to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works and lifeless observances to observe the ever living God. What does all that mean? Well, an animal sacrifice had to be without defect, had to be perfect. The animal couldn't have any defect in order to be accepted as an acceptable sacrifice for the sins of the person offering it, the offerer. However, it only brought temporary atonement, right? But Jesus' blood says that he went into the holies of holies in the presence of God once. And that once, amen, having through his blood, grants us the power to wash away our sins forever. No, preach it's not a temporary thing where I got to come back next Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Where I got to come back next month. Where I got to come back every Easter. Amen. Yeah. Christmas and Mother's Day. No, it washes away my sin forever. And I know that there's a lot of folks, amen, that, and we're going to see them on Sunday. Amen. Part of the CME church. Amen. We know, amen. It's just like, you know, in the olden times, amen. They sin all year long and they come, amen, on that one Sunday when the sacrifices is happening and amen. And they get back right and everything is right in the world. Amen. But I want to tell you, amen, that the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, is there. And it's covering all of our sins that happened yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Amen. That's the power of the blood of Jesus. Amen. The blood of Jesus, amen, the only one, amen, to walk this life perfect in all his ways. Remember, the sacrifice had to be from a perfect, amen, animal without spot or blemish. And there was no one more perfect, amen, to offer a sacrifice to us than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He was perfect without spot or blemish. Amen. And his blood, amen, is so potent, amen, that the believer only needs to accept, not reject, amen, Jesus one time, and they are saved for eternity. That's the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, baby. Amen. Please, you ain't got to keep coming back asking for forgiveness. Amen. Amen. Once you're clean, you're clean. Amen. And that's what the blood of Jesus Christ does for us. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses. Hebrews 9:14 shares a little light on that, right? The Old Testament stated that blood accomplished ceremonial cleansing and sanctification, amen, by sprinkling blood on the altar, right? The offerer was deemed to be clean. The person who brought the animal and where the blood was spilt was deemed to be clean. But get this, they were only clean on the outside. Jesus' blood has the miraculous ability to make you clean on the inside. Jesus' blood, amen, does a complete work. Amen. I mean, anybody ever heard I think it was called Shout, amen, and it talked about how Shout, amen, amen, could get the stain out. Amen. Jesus' blood is better than Shout. Amen. Jesus' blood, amen, cleanses you inside and outside. Sometimes you get a stain on your clothes, amen, and you can get some and it takes it off the outside, but it's still caught in the material. Amen. But that Shout was supposed to get it all out. And I want to tell you that Jesus' blood is more powerful than even Shout. Amen. It cleanses from the inside out. That's the power of the blood of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Jesus' blood, amen, has the miraculous ability to make you clean on the inside. The blood of Jesus cleanses our consciousness against those acts that lead to death. Amen. Jesus' blood will make you act right. You know what I'm saying? Jesus' blood will cleanse you of thoughts, amen, wrong thoughts, amen, that leads to wrong behavior. Amen. Sin leaves a stain in our lives, right? Once we do those things and we get caught up in sin, it leaves guilt, amen. It leaves heartache. It leaves sorrow. Amen. It leaves shame, amen, from its effects. Amen. Also, sin leaves a stain in our conscience that, you know what I'm saying, that if we continue to feed it, amen, it feeds the flesh with temptations, you know what I'm saying, to engage in acts that are just not pleasing unto God.
Hallelujah.
And they're harmful to us.
Yes.
But Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Now, when I read that and I understood that, that kind of got me excited. I want to ask you, what other blood you know? Like the blood of Jesus. Well, you can add red to red and it turns out white. what Isaiah was saying was that, amen, you can add Jesus' blood to the scarlet red stain of your soul and you'll come out white as snow. That's the power of Jesus' blood. Huh? It makes Jesus' blood makes eternal life sure for all those who believe. Amen. That's Hebrews 9 and 11 through 12. Amen. The shed blood of Jesus brings eternal redemption. Amen. And the results are eternal life. Paul tells us that we were all in Ephesians 2 and 1. Paul tells us that we were all dead in our trespasses, amen, unto sin, right? And get his word. He didn't say that we were sick. He didn't say we were sin sick. Paul says that in Ephesians 2 and 1, he says that we were all dead in our trespasses and sin. And our sin had us set on a road to destruction. Jesus said this. Now, I'm trying to tie all this in together. Jesus said this in John 10 and 10. He says, I have come that they might have life, right? And have it more abundantly. But I want to pause it up. He said, I've come that they might have life.
Yeah.
It was God's plan that Jesus would die so that you might live. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you that when Jesus' blood was spilled and it washed over you, amen, the life that was in Jesus' blood, amen, gave you eternal life. That's the life that we're going to live eternally because of the life, amen, that was in Jesus' blood that covers us, that washed us, amen, and still covers us from now into eternity. It is the life that is still alive in Jesus' blood that guarantees us eternal life.
Yes, yes.
Amen, I know I'm right.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It was God's plan that Jesus would die so that we might live. In Leviticus 17 and 11, it reads that for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. I want to tell you that it wasn't just Jesus dying on the cross and getting back up that made atonement for us, amen, for eternal life. It was his blood being spilled, amen. The power of his blood, amen, still covering us today that made our atonement for our sins. We were bought with a price, and the price was the blood of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins, and his blood, amen, spilling over, amen, and yet running and still maintaining this power today, amen, to still yet and save the lost souls. But just like when a seed dies so that the plant inside might spring forth to life, when the blood of Jesus was poured out, the life in his blood granted eternal life permanently to all those who believe. Not just a temporary basis, but eternally. Come on, somebody say, oh, the blood of Jesus. And I'm getting ready to close. I want to say to you that every drop of blood lost, each precious drop was making our salvation and redemption complete. And he had lost a lot of blood before making it up Calvary's Hill. And then they nailed him to the cross. Come on, somebody say, oh, the blood of Jesus.
Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Has anybody ever wondered just how potent the blood of Jesus is?
The blood.
You know, science has determined that an adult will have approximately 1.2 to 1.5 gallons of blood in their body. It's about 5 liters. But know that Jesus has lost some blood, amen, for you on the way to the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, as he prayed, and the Bible says that he lost some blood. As they beat Jesus, he lost some blood. As the Roman soldiers beat him with the lead-tipped whip that they called a flagrum, somebody say he lost some blood.
He lost some blood.
As they pressed the crown of thorns on his head, he lost some blood.
As he
carried his cross up Calvary's Hill, come on, somebody say, he lost some blood.
He lost some blood.
As they nailed his hands to the cross, he lost some blood.
As they nailed
his feet to the cross, he lost some blood.
He lost some blood.
And after losing all that blood, I don't know how much blood he had left, but aren't you glad that he had enough left, amen, to cover my sins, your sins, and everybody else's sins, amen, that came after that. Amen. He may have lost all that blood on the way to the cross, but I'm so glad that he still yet had enough blood to cover my sins. Come on, somebody say, oh, the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It was just enough for all them who came before me. Amen. And yet there was still enough left, amen, for me and you. Come on, And can I tell you that it would still be enough for, amen, for those, amen, if should he delay his coming, amen, for a thousand years after now? That, can I tell you that the blood would still have its power even then? Amen. If the Lord decides to delay his coming, why? Because the blood of Jesus, come on, say it with me, never loses its power.
Never loses power.
Oh, the blood of Jesus that washes one clean as snow. Amen. No other blood that I know. Amen. Has the power like the blood of Jesus. Saints of God, it may not have been a whole lot of blood left. Amen. When he hung on that rugged cross. But it was enough to save my soul and cleanse me. And there's still enough to do the same for you. Listen. And this is the altar call tonight. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save those who were lost. Luke 9:19-10 gives us a note that it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus was born to die. He was born to die. He was also born to rise again. And on the cross, Jesus faced the judgment of God. For
amen,
us.
Amen.
It wasn't anything that he did. He took on the judgment for us.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And he took the wrath of God upon him for us.
Thank you.
He bore all the sins of the world, including your sins and mine, by dying in our place. And this is why he came. And can I tell you this? The nails didn't hold Jesus to the cross. Love did. Love held Jesus to that cross for you and me.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
He died for us all. Come on, I'll say that again. Nails didn't hold him on the cross. Yeah, it was part of the process for which he died. Amen. And his blood was shed, but it was love that kept him on that cross. So how do you come into a relationship with one who has done so much for us? First, you have to acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner. And we're all recovering sinners, trying not to fall off the wagon of our deliverance, right? You know what I'm saying? Of what many of us have done many and many times over. But come on, somebody say, oh, thank God for the blood.
Oh, thank God for the blood.
Romans 3:23, amen, reads, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yeah, we've all been there. And you must realize,
hallelujah.
You know what I'm saying? In order to come out of that, you must realize.
Thank you, Lord.
Then acknowledge that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That there is nothing that you can do yourself to atone, amen, for the price of sin, which is death.
Hallelujah.
You have to believe it in your heart of hearts that it was his death on the cross that paid the price, his shed blood that paid the price, amen, for your soul, the atonement of your soul.
Thank you,
and then you need to repent of your sin, which means to be genuinely remorseful of all the wrong things that you have done in life that you now know are wrong and pleasing unto God.
Hallelujah.
It means turning away from sinful behavior and making an outward confession of what you just believed in your heart, that you are a sinner and that there's nothing you could do to save yourself. You must accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, confessing that it was the sacrifice that Jesus made on Calvary's Hill that opened the door and the way to eternal life.
Hallelujah.
And that God, the Father, raised him from the dead 3 days
later. Yes.
And I want to say that with this, you receive Christ into your life forever, whom is the way, the truth, and the light, your access to eternal life.
For more information about True Holiness, or if you'd like to give a tax-deductible donation to help us continue to spread the gospel, visit us on the web at www.trueholinesscogic.org.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.